News from NPR is made possible in part by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer's warranty. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's Wednesday, February the 22nd, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along in just a moment with all the day's agricultural news, including a call from Iowa's Chuck Grassley for hearings on the meatpacking industry. A second story from Senator Grassley. He thinks the president will sign off on worded legislation, even though an update for the locks and dams was excluded from the 2007 U.S. budget. And there is news from Africa about cotton subsidies. Also, we'll talk with Drew Lerner today at World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. That'll happen just after the bottom of the hour. And along the way, we'll hear more on the dramatic increase Illinois landowners could see in their tax bill for timbered acres. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Kansas City on this Wednesday afternoon, March wheat finished 8.5 cents lower at 431.5. The March wheat in Chicago was down 7 today at 365.5, and the May contract there at 377.5 for the soft red winter wheat, down 6.5 cents on this day. March corn futures 221.5, down 4.5. The May futures off 4.5 at 232.5, and July contract at 241.75, down 4.25. December corn at 259.25, down 2.5 cents. And the March soybeans today were off 13.5 cents at $5.74 for the day. May futures 586.5, off 14.5. July down 12 cents at 598.25. And the November beans settled at 608.75. They were down 11.75 today. Bean meal March contract 175.70, down 450. March bean oil down 30 at 22.75. Feeder cattle from the Mercantile Exchange 107.90. They were up 27.5 cents today. February live cattle at 90.62.5. They were down 7.5 cents. And the April lean hog settled at $60.02 a hundredweight. They were down $1.22.5 for the day. Joining us now to take a look at what happened the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd. And I want to give a tip of the hat for the Commodity Week this last week. Your interview with Dave Hastings, you covered basis, transportation, storage, and carryover, all very key ingredients in what makes the grain and corn and soybean markets tick in the Midwest. And I thought you did a wonderful job of, let's discussing it.
Most of that, of course, goes to Dave Hastings, who was our guest. He's at the Ludlow Co-op there in Ludlow, Illinois. And we'll be sorry that Dave won't be around that much longer. He's headed for retirement shortly. So he's only been on Commodity Week a couple of times, and I really enjoyed having him as a guest. And hopefully we'll have him on at least once more before, maybe a couple more times before he's done with us on Commodity Week and out of the business, so to speak. Let's talk about what happened in Chicago today, Paul. And I want to start actually in the southeast, because I'm going to talk about poultry to begin with. I saw some news reports that it appears that poultry is stacking up pretty high, that there are a lot of birds that aren't being moved out of this nation, and that probably is in part due to bird flu in other parts of the world, and so that there's less demand for chicken primarily, or poultry, in Europe and other places of the world. And I'm guessing that that's had an impact on bean meal and turning around, and when everybody starts to look at how much carryover is and what kind of crop we might have, that it's starting to push the market lower.
Well, it's part of the demand part of the equation, and we understand that there was even some talk in the grain trade that in Chicago of possible cancellations of soybeans from Brazil to Europe. and maybe some problems with Egypt as well. You know, before the opening this morning, we did get the Informer group. They've been traveling throughout Brazil and saying the crop is bigger than last year and bigger than a lot of the other guesstimates of production at 58.75 million metric tons. We know that from just glancing before the show here, the live weather radar out of Argentina, they're getting some wonderful rains. The private meteorologist, basically the three or four that we watch, basically all lined up and said, let's go for rain in those big producing states in Argentina, as well as Rio Grande do Sul in Brazil and the rest of Brazil. The other factor is, of course, rain makes grain, and we know that the open interest in wheat and corn are record, and, you know, we look around and we don't see a lot of demand. We usually reserve that big open interest to some kind of a drought or major export market program, which we're basically not there and just basically fueling on commodity speculation by commodity funds somewhere in the world buying U.S. commodities.
Yeah, I read something from DTN on Newsom's takes this afternoon, and I'll just read it directly to you so that you can give me an idea of what you think about this. And Newsom, of course, reporting on what Gary Wilhelmy has to say when he's down on the floor. And Wilhelmy, at some point during the day, saying that they'd sold about 6,000 bean contracts and 600 corn contracts as of noon. And Newsom writes this: an interesting thing to me is that 600 corn contracts can drop that market 4 cents. With non-commercials holding a net long of 130,000 plus in corn, it leads to a question of what could happen if they become serious sellers. Have you thought about this much?
You bet. Every time I walk through the door at 6 a.m. in the morning, that's one of the things that we focus on and it's talked about. And you know, I have to steal some of the thunder from Kurt. You know, anytime he's in an Outlook meeting or on Commodity Week or anytime during the day, he talks about the large ownership by the commodity funds and the power they have with the investment money. And also just think of what would happen if we were in a full-fledged drought in the U.S. But, you know, to make a long story short, I think the corn liquidation by funds was modest, both in corn and wheat, and the soybean was a little more pronounced, mainly on good growing conditions in South America and the general anticipation of a large crop. The trend did change yesterday from being up to down and over that long weekend where, you know, even commentators were saying we're in a new bull market in soybeans. But we did see things come more or less back to earth. You know, I think the big factor is we are seeing cash movement of corn in the Midwest. We are seeing some talk that maybe the door is open for some additional wheat to Iraq. But there was profit-taking across the floor today in Chicago. And it, as you mentioned, it'll be interesting to see if we do get down to, let's say, 217, 218 on the March, where the 40-day moving average could be, what the commodity fund will do if the trend does change.
It'll be interesting to watch that, because most of the time we say they're long and they stay that way and they just continue to roll. But I think over the past month or so, we've started to hear some of our analysts on the air say, well, I don't know whether they can actually maintain that kind of stance or not. What's your thought?
Well, you know, I think the USDA, with the chief economist there, the Collins, basically indicated this ethanol usage increase this coming year, and they did use some modest production estimates, and that caught the market and a little bit by surprise, and I think that that's been a supportive factor in the corn market. The big factor, too, is as we go into the springtime, our friends in the fertilizer and farming industry talk about a ton of lime going on the ground now and, you know, basically a lot of fertilizer going on in dry form now. And, you know, that tells me, and, you know, when we're at these meetings, we're getting the reports that there's going to be quite a bit of corn planted. Now, the corn that we're not going to see planted probably is in those irrigated areas and some reduction in some other areas that maybe are not the real go-go Corn Belt areas. But, you know, we're getting the feeling that there is going to be a lot of corn planted in, Champaign and Bloomington and, just a lot of good key growing counties in the state.
Close me out in this way. Tell me, and you've done this for some of the commodities already today, but the trend is which direction in wheat, corn, and soybeans?
Well, in corn, we have to say higher. The key area is probably 217. As long as it trades above that, the trend is down. In soybeans, as long as it stays below 591 area. And in wheat, as long as it stays above 342.5 to 345 area, I'm going to say the trend is up. It's all a big part of the exciting commodity business.
Paul, we appreciate you being with us.
Have a
today.
Nice one, Todd.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Wednesday afternoons. At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, will join us for a look at the agricultural weather. AM 580's own Ed Kieser says tonight across the two-state region, the skies will be clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range this evening from 22 in northwestern Illinois to 32 in the far south. And tomorrow, Ed says, in the north, partly sunny. Sunny, a chance of a few flurries during the afternoon. In the central sections, mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow ranging from 35 in northwestern Illinois to 57 in the far south. Well, the agricultural programming here on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and West Central Indiana. For more information, call them at 866-837-9027. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment to take a look at the agricultural news. I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Mark Report on WILL, reminding you to hit our website at WILLAG.org, WILLAG.org.
In agricultural news, a group of four African cotton-producing nations have submitted a proposal to World Trade Organization members calling for significant short-term cuts in domestic subsidies for cotton producers worldwide. In the context of the Doha Round, they want to see subsidy reductions for cotton at three times the amount and in one-third as much time as WTO members stipulate for other forms of agricultural domestic support. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is calling for hearings of the meatpackers industry before the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions. Grassley is proposing legislation that would limit packer ownership of livestock operations. Also yesterday, Grassley predicted that if Congress passes the Water Resources Development Act, the president will sign the bill, even though USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says budget reconciliation is a higher priority than locks and dams renovation.
I hope that the president's not backing off his promise to Senator Bond that was made last summer when Senator Bond indicated to the White House that he was not going to support a highway bill if they didn't back off of their opposition to WERDA and particularly to the Mississippi lock and dam improvements. And he got a commitment.
Grassley says just because Johanns defended the Bush administration's lack of funding for locks and dams does not mean the president will actively oppose WERDA's passage. A top Japanese official Tuesday said Japan will only resume U.S. imports of beef if Washington can convince Tokyo that its mad cow safeguards are effective. Japan closed its doors on U.S. beef last month after the discovery of banned spinal material in a shipment of veal. Washington sources are now saying it will be months before Japan reopens its border. Japan's ruling Liberal Democratic Party is taking significant political heat on the issue and Monday issued a cool reception to a 475-page report prepared by USDA on the issue. The administrator of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency told the 11th National Ethanol Conference in Las Vegas Tuesday that ethanol would play a key role in reducing America's dependence on foreign oil. Stephen Johnson says the U.S. needs to be less reliant on oil imports.
With each passing year, we have become more dependent on foreign sources of oil. Over the past 25 years, the cumulative cost of imported crude oil has reached $1.4 trillion. That's money that could have provided funds for investments.
And Johnson says ethanol is on the cutting edge of technological solutions.
As I had the opportunity to tour the plant, I was amazed to see as we pulled up, and here was a corn grain elevator, here was a mill. One side of the mill was producing ethanol, and the other side was producing high-protein cattle feed. That's innovation.
The U.S. ethanol industry says in 2005, ethanol displaced 170 million barrels of oil and reduced greenhouse gas emissions by 8 million tons. The president of the Environmental Working Group says when USDA makes public its new database on producers receiving farm program payments, the EWG will post the data at its website. Ken Cook says the new USDA database should have some interesting revelations.
That will reveal for the first time who's getting how much money in the rice co-ops, who's getting how much money in some of these more complex large entities. So most farmers on our website have been, they've had their subsidies disclosed for years now, but some of the other recipients have not, simply because of the way they've organized their business. And I think it was the intention of Congress, at least, for USDA to be able to track that. Our feeling is that we ought to be able to and will put it on the web when we get it.
And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The new address is simple. It's willag.org. That's .org. Well, up next, the state of Illinois is enforcing an old law. It is called the Woodland Tax Assessment. And as you'll hear, it could catch owners of timberland unaware. The Illinois Department of Revenue has ordered all 102 counties in the state to review their farmland assessments. Part of that taking stock will include the enforcement of an old law assessing wooded acres. It could mean the property tax on timber might jump from $2 an acre to $40 or $60 an acre, says University of Illinois Extension Forester Jay Hake.
To give you a little background on this, according to the Illinois Department of Revenue, this is not a new law, and what I'm talking about specifically is this woodland tax assessment, but rather it's a measure to achieve assessment equity and uniformity both within the county and statewide. So apparently many landowners throughout the state were inappropriately afforded this other farmland assessment, kind of which forestry fell under. But according to the Illinois Department of Revenue, just because a tract may have timber on it does not necessarily make it eligible for the other farmland assessment. With that said, it would behoove forest landowners to contact their county assessor to find out whether or not they will be affected with this woodland assessment. Again, it's not a new thing. It's just something that that the Department of Revenue is trying to equally enforce across the counties and the state.
The law says if the timber is part of a farm, as defined by the law, then the timber is taxed at the guaranteed other farmland or wasteland assessment. Those are the lower rates.
However, if it's not part of a farm, say you're a hunter, you just own 40 acres, and all you do is hunt white-tailed deer off it, then more likely than not, you're going to be assessed at the 33 1/3% market rate.
Well, that's the mucho higher tax rate in comparison. There is an appeals process. Hake says property owners should first contact their county assessor. He believes most have set up a 30-day appeals window. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing farmers credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers. Joining us now for a look at the cash grain market is Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Well, just before, you told me you had quite a harrowing experience last week with the weather. Tell me about it.
Well, we were having an agricultural class out at our local airport, and we had an F1 tornado, winds of 100 miles an hour, and one of the girls I work with, we were in a building, and the roof was torn off the whole thing, and it was pretty scary, and I found myself under a table, whether I wanted to be or not.
Well, we're glad you were safe. I bet that was just a wild ride.
It certainly was.
Speaking of wild rides, it's been a tough ride for the soybeans over the last couple of days in Chicago. What did you make of the trade?
Well, yeah, the market's been damaged, there's no doubt. The bird flu's got everybody scared. There's plenty of rain in Argentina, and some of the analytical firms are coming out with at least a 58.5 million metric ton down there, which is basically what the USDA has, although some have been saying 53, but that impacted the market, and supposedly an analyst is going to come out tomorrow with his 06-07 S&D numbers, and he's talking about an 800 million bushel carryout in beans next year. So all those really did impact the market today.
Yeah, that's a lot of beans on the marketplace, and in comparison for the last couple of years, while there were calls out of South America for crops as big as 62, 63 million metric tons, I think that they really came in at 48 and 52 or something like that in that range over the last 2 years. So even a 58 million metric ton would be a large, very large influx of beans onto the marketplace in comparison on a yearly basis. Tell me about your base. Speaking of basis, different basis, tell me about your cash basis going to the southeast. Has the poultry been stacking up there, and has that caused you a problem?
Well, the thing more than anything else is getting transportation. The basis levels are cheap. There's no doubt about that. Some of the worst I've seen even for new crop values. But it's just hard to get cars because there's still stacks of corn everywhere, and the farmers have really come to this market and taken advantage of these rallies. And we've bought an awful lot, and we've got a lot of two arrives to come in. So it's just a glut of product and no transportation and cheap basis levels. But now the market's sold off. The basis levels may improve a little bit because farmers definitely are not going to sell into this down market until we see if it's definitely over.
And you're looking at the market over the next month. What do you expect?
Well, I wasn't really particularly convinced that they were through with the upside yet, but you know, the technical charts were still a little friendly, but this and there's no doubt this has really hurt this. And, of course, you got to remember, too, we've got the delivery period coming up, and there's with all these longs in the corn, they're going to have to go somewhere, either get out or start rolling. So this pressure may continue, Todd.
What are you telling guys on your nightly phone message, then?
Well, that they probably should have sold. But, you know, really, the market has to trade down, you know, 3 or 4 days before you really know if it's over. So I'm just telling them now just to kind of hang loose and see what happens.
And your bids for the day look like what?
All right, cash corn today is 202, cash beans are 555, and new crop wheat today is 351.
We appreciate you being with us today. Thanks much. And that was Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. She joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Friday afternoons in about 2 minutes on Wednesday afternoons. I'm trying to hurry up the weekend and look forward to, I guess, what would be a little cold weather. It's nice and sunny outside today at 48 degrees. In fact, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast across not only the two-state region, but around the globe a little bit later this afternoon. Just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner. He's a meteorologist out of Kansas City to take a complete look at the agricultural weather. Up next, your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. George Ryan isn't going to take the stand at his racketeering and fraud trial. Ryan's defense attorney, Dan Webb, told U.S. District Judge Rebecca Pallmeyer today that he's decided not to call the former governor to testify, and his decision is final. The lawyer says he recommended to the former governor that he not testify because Webb says he doesn't believe that the government has proven its case against Ryan. Ryan and his co-defendant, Larry Warner, both are charged in a 22-count indictment. Each say they did nothing illegal. Also today, Webb confirmed that Warner will not plan to take the witness stand either, as the 5-month trial nears its final stage. A state audit questioned some of the numbers in the Blagojevich administration's claims of job creation. Auditor William Holland says the state's Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity has been counting projected new jobs as jobs that have already been created. And some of the new jobs the agency touts are actually people who are already employed but are going through retraining. Holland's report says the agency has agreed to better spell out its achievements. Abortion rights groups in Indiana say they look more favorably now on two abortion bills now that a state Senate panel has removed two key provisions. One would have required doctors to tell women that their fetus may feel pain and that life begins at conception. The other would have set building standards for Indiana abortion clinics. A bill that passed the Illinois House this morning would make dogfighting a felony offense with a fine and a maximum 3-year prison sentence. The bill sponsor says it would also require police to learn the signs of the illegal activity, such as dogfighting paraphernalia, and it would make it a crime to allow children under the age of 13 to watch a dogfight. A nun who founded a religious order in a college near Terre Haute back in the 19th century is one step closer to becoming a saint. Roman Catholic Church officials have attributed a second miracle to Mother Theodore Guerin. She could be canonized as early as this fall. Guerin founded the Sisters of Providence and St. Mary of the Woods College. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Rainfall in South America?
Yes, sir. Got some good thunderstorms starting to develop in the southwest corner of Argentina at this hour. They are going to expand and shift off to the northeast during the next 24 to 36 hours. That should bring some much-needed relief to a large part of Argentina. After more than 2 weeks of dry weather that has brought on some late-season stress that has at least threatened some of the late double-cropped soybeans, looks like this precipitation event will be sufficient in bringing topsoil moisture back to the level of maybe adequacy, and that should help to carry on normal crop development for a little while longer. But we will probably slip back into a drier mode down the road. But, of course, we're getting closer now to the harvest season. In fact, some harvesting is already underway in corn and sunseed areas of Argentina. So this is pretty much just about what the doctor ordered, I think, in general for Argentina. For Brazil, it certainly looks as though showers and thunderstorms are going to continue to be a frequent occurrence. That may not be quite as welcome in Brazil as it might seem otherwise, and that's mainly because those early beans in the north are already mature and waiting to be harvested. Some field work is trying to get underway. Progress is rather slow. I don't think there's going to be any serious quality issues, but we do need to see drier weather in Brazil in order to support the harvest of these crops.
Your sources in South America expecting a fairly good crop this year as comparison to the last and the previous year?
Yes, I do believe so. That will be the case. I think there was a tendency to get a little bit too carried away with the dryness that occurred at various portions of the growing season this year, and I think we'll be surprised to see how well the crops are going to do in general this year.
Speaking of dryness, how are we doing in the southwestern part of the United States?
Pretty darn dry out that way, and I don't see a lot of relief coming on anytime real soon. La Nina's got a fairly strong grip on the southern plains. Texas and Oklahoma are just not likely to see a substantial amount of precipitation for a while. And it looks like we'll see a little bit of an increase in precipitation maybe further to the north in parts of Kansas, Colorado, and Nebraska as we get into the first week or 10 days of March. We should not anticipate it being a heavy precipitation event, but at least some precipitation will increase across the region at that time. I think in general we will see an improving trend across wheat country during the month of March, but Texas and Oklahoma will be faced with ongoing dryness issues all the way through the growing season this year.
And then here on the campus of the University of Illinois, over the last half hour since we started this show, we picked up a degree outside. It's now 49. It was 48 when we started, but it looks like we'll go back into some more cold weather as we head to the weekend.
That's right. In a series of cold air masses will move across the region during the latter part of the week, and will probably actually be coldest during the early part of next week, Monday and Tuesday. It'll be a fairly quick-moving cold air mass, maybe not quite as bitter as the last one that moved across the region, but certainly on the nippy side. I do not anticipate winter kill to be much of an issue. We will have some livestock stress across the area. And it looks like precipitation will be held to a minimum for a while. When we start to warm up at the end of next week going into the following weekend, we'll probably get at least one significant storm system to evolve.
Drew, thanks much.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Wednesday afternoons. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets with your Director of Agriculture Programming at the radio station, Dave Dickey. And don't forget, you can listen to today's futures analysis, the cash grain analysis, and the weather right there on our website. The address is what? It's new, it's simple, straightforward, WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.